I liked Matt's devotion on competition and kind of how we perceive competition. And as Christians, what are we really competing against? And all that. And it goes very well with kind of what I was going to talk about, which is sort of how society moves us into this competitive nature that pits us against each other, rather than the competition to simply defeat ourselves and become more Christ-like. You know, the competition is not out there in the world. The competition is in here. And it's with us wanting to move and be a little closer to the Lord. So that was really neat. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we praise you and we thank you for the gift of your word and the inspiration that it provides. Lord, we just ask that you would get me out of the way. I've put a lot of time into writing out a sermon, and I pray you will throw the whole thing out the window, and it will only be your words that will come out of me. Father, I just praise you, and I thank you for this opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope, and I pray very much that your words and your wisdom will come through what I have to say. Father, we surrender this to you. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's play the name that tune. Let's do that. It's a good time, isn't it? This is a mandolin. It is not a ukulele, for those of you who are going to say things that don't start. So I want to see if you can name this tune. What is it? Anybody know that song? The notes are all there. The notes are all there. You should know this song. I know they're the right ones. You stay on your side of the stage. You hear the notes, right? But if we add the rest to that song, where the stops are, that's where the music lies, is in the rest, right? Same notes, exactly the same notes. But when we, what I did is I just played the notes. There's no rest. See, the music lies in the quiet parts. Bill Monroe, one of my mandolin heroes, he was famous for saying that. He would say, it's the notes that you don't play that are important to music, not the notes that you do. So put some of those in your pocket, boy. That's the way he would say that if you were picking too fast. And so that got me thinking, you know, the importance of rest in music. And then it started thinking of the importance of rest for us as Christians. Anybody get tired? Just tired, like going all the time and you're tired? You know, it's not supposed to be that way. Not supposed to be that way. So as I looked at that, I started thinking, well, what's the name of the sermon? I said, well, it's the notes you don't play. And it got me thinking of the importance of Sabbath and how somewhere in this 21st century society, we don't rest anymore. And it goes along a lot with what Matt was talking about. It seems as though we're in constant competition and we have to keep going and we have to keep competing with the Joneses and competing with the neighbors and trying to win, you know, grand championship and things like that. And what ultimately ends up happening is in this constant flurry of activity, we become pitted against our neighbor. And now our neighbor isn't our neighbor is our competitor. How can we develop healthy and happy relationships when we're in constant competition with the people that we are supposed to be in community with? So that's kind of what the nature of what I wanted to talk about a little bit today. And the scripture that we're going to use, that I'm reading out of the NIV, is Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15. Deuteronomy, as I was researching scripture for talking about the Sabbath, the Deuteronomy retelling of the law actually goes into great detail, and it really breaks down very nicely what that Sabbath is supposed to be and what it looks like. You know, interestingly, the term Sabbath is mentioned over 170 times in Scripture. Of the Ten Commandments, it's the one that gets the most press, and it's the one that gets mostly ignored by us. It's the one that gets Jesus in trouble with the Pharisees because we're healing on the Sabbath and picking corn on the Sabbath. And we're doing all these things that the Pharisees said we're not supposed to do because they had all these rules about keeping the Sabbath, which were not technically scriptural. But it's interesting that we, as 21st century Americans, ignore this all the time. And they'll quote scripture to tell you why they do it. Well, we're going to get to that here in a minute. But anyway, let me go ahead. We'll just read this in its entirety. Observe the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. That breaks it down pretty nicely, what all is involved in that, you know. So let's take a look here. As we look in verse 12, observe the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. And we understand what holy means, right? It means keeping it separate. The idea that we are holy is that we are to be different than society. And so that seventh day, the day that the Lord rested, he worked, 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 worked. But on that seventh day, he set it aside to be different. So when we're commanded to keep it holy, what we're saying is that we need to have a day that is separate from the society, from the world. To take that day of rest, that day of peace, that day to engage with family, community, and of course with our Lord and through Scripture. You know, it's a separate day. We read in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I am God. How often do I not take time to be still and listen to what God is saying? Because my mind wants to just listen to what Brad is saying and what Brad wants to do and all of this stuff. And it usually leads to more chaos. Take that time. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. And this is a very interesting thing. You know, why did Pharaoh make the Israelites start making bricks without straw? Because they wanted to take one day and go out in the desert and worship their God, right? And Moses said, we want to do that. We demand you let us go do that. Let my people go so we can worship our God. Pharaoh says, no, we work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You will stay here. And since you asked me, now you're going to make bricks without straw, but we don't want to see one less. Isn't that strange? Doesn't that seem a little bit like kind of how the world works today? 24/7 news, 24/7 media, restaurants open all week long. You coach a lot of sports, Matt, and AAU is a great example for me. My kids played AAU basketball, and everything is on Sundays. And I really started to notice this back then, that society doesn't care about a day off. Society, as we work it here in the United States of America, is exactly the same as we were working for Pharaoh, if we allow it to be. We continue. We have to keep making bricks, keep making bricks, keep making bricks. You want your kids to go to a good college, then you're going to go to a basketball tournament in Cleveland on Sunday. You're going to go out and do these things. Society pushes us and pushes us and pushes us. And it's contrary to what God has given us. The Sabbath was a gift. All right? Up to this point, everybody was working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But no, our Lord says, on this day, you will keep it holy and you will rest. And you will rest in the arms. And this is a kind of a precursor to the rest that we find in Jesus Christ. The rest that we get internally. And it's completely different from Pharaoh's world. And it's completely different from what we're seeing in a modern society. You know, and we talked a little bit about the competitive thing. And it's interesting. I did there's a word study of the English language in the Wall Street Journal. And words like competitive advantage, what were some of the other ones? So, winning, competitive advantage. You see these as far as in the English vernacular being used more and more and more and more and more. These terms of competition, these terms of getting ahead, these terms of keeping going and keeping up. What you don't see, what you're seeing less and less, are the terms like, where are you? Terms like virtue. You don't see it. Caring. These are words that don't seem to be expressed in society like they did. It's all about that competitive advantage, all about getting up on the neighbor, and all about winning. We want to win all the time at any expense. Sadly, what happens is that our Sabbath becomes the expense. Now, I'm preaching this because Brad needs to hear this. I have Cleveland Browns tickets, okay? And talk about a miserable way to spend a Sunday. But I do it. I do it. But when we get into this, as Christians, these things happen. I'm not here to judge what you do on Sunday. But what I want to say, what I'm stressing, is the importance of keeping a Sabbath. Because the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord your God. And watch this. The creator of the heavens and earth was not worried about competitive advantage. He wasn't worried about winning. You know, he's God. He could have done anything he wanted to do. What did he do? He took a break. 6 days he created our existence. And on that last day, he took a break. Now, if the Lord our God says we need a break, he needs a break, who are we to say his creation that, well, that's for you, God, that I got this? It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. It's our time to be silent before God. It's our time to sit and rest and reflect. I don't know about you guys, but when I don't take time to sort of engage, come to worship, engage with my family, engage with my community, when I start on Monday, I'm not as good as I could be. I'm still kind of stressed out. You know, you work, well, I got 100 million hours a week, right? You know how that is. And we're just not as good. We're supposed to be effective in this society. We're supposed to be, hey, you know what? That guy is a Christian. He shows up. He does a great job. He works. How can you do that if you're tired all the time? We need to take that day of rest. Take that time to be silent, to quiet ourselves. If we can't quiet ourselves and listen to the God, how can we really be effective in the other things that we do? Because we're running on our own minds and not God's. This next line is something that I just really, as I sort of started to unpack this, I just thought it was really an interesting thing, because we worship a God of equality. Now, you know, a lot of people think America has a monopoly on God, but it's not true. Okay. On the Sabbath, you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, grand champion sheep, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. The Sabbath is a great day of equality when we practice it the way that God has mandated us to do. And I struggle with this a little bit. I don't know if you guys do too, because I want to say, well, then that means I shouldn't be going to the Golden Corral of people working and putting on the feed bag, because then I'm making people work, and all of a sudden it becomes kind of a nightmare. But we'll get to that, on how that impacts us as Christians. But I think in this, it demonstrates the equality that our God advocates for all of us. Everybody, regardless of what you think, thought, believe, anything like that, our God treats us all as equals. Society doesn't, but our God does. And that's what, so they get the rest, everybody gets the rest. That's what I like about that statement. Is that, we're talking about the Sabbath, but it means so much more when we really unpack that. That God loves each and every one of us, regardless of where we may come from or what we do for a living. Ditch diggers and physicians, it doesn't make any difference. He loves us all equally. And the Sabbath is equal for all of us. So he goes on to remind, in verse 15, let's move on. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty and outstretched hand. And as we talked about, there was no rest in Egypt. There was no rest at all. And this time for Sabbath is that time for rest. You know, Jesus tells us, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he says, come to me. Right? He's not, take the time to make the effort to clear the schedule and come and spend time with the Lord. When I do those things is when I seem to be at my best, when I'm outside of my prayer closet and I'm out in the world. Taking that time to be the best Christian, the best reflection of Christ that I can. And I can't do that. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. But therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The recognition of the Sabbath is that it is a distinct element of our Judeo-Christian belief system. The world doesn't do it. It marks you. It identifies us. It's an identifying factor of us as Christians, is that we take the time away from society to spend with our family, our church community, and with the Lord. So when I looked at that, I have to ask myself, am I taking this time to make sure that I am in good relationship with my fellow man before I go out there and have to actually interact in society with them? And I'm not good about taking a Sabbath. I'm not. And very pastor people are the worst at doing Sabbaths, because Sunday is a work day for them. And a lot of them will say, well, I take Monday. But then you call their office and there's people in there on Monday and everything. So I don't know how full-time pastors do that sort of thing. But now you can argue, and you can say, well, Brad, we don't live under the Old Testament. We don't live under Deuteronomy. We live under grace. And this is a true statement. It's an absolutely true statement. And this is where it can become a little bit convoluted if we're not careful. And we'll see here, like in Galatians 4:10, Paul tells us, Christians are not bound to observe days and months and seasons and years. The rest we enter into as Christians is something to experience every day. Not just one day a week. The rest of knowing we don't have to work for our salvation, but our salvation is accomplished in Jesus. All right, and so that's where the rub becomes, because we don't want to fall into this legalistic. Who here is old enough to remember blue laws? You know what a blue law is? When the liquor store and all the stores, everything was shut down on Sunday. You remember that? Yeah, well, I was raised that way. Yeah, every place was shut down. And that was the reason for this. The country was initially founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And one of the things is hey, you know, we're going to shut this stuff down on Sunday. I'm not advocating for that kind of thing. I don't know that it's really necessary. To me, that's kind of a Pharisee thing to do that. The Sabbath that I as a Christian engage in is of a personal nature. All right, and that's where I rationalize, and you can catch me afterwards and let me know if I'm wrong, but that's where I rationalize my Cleveland Browns tickets that I lament so horribly, but I get every year, are divided in my family. And we use that as an opportunity, as a family. I go up with Lori, or I go up with one of my grandkids, or I go up. And what it does do is it takes me out of society to an extent. It takes me out where I'm focused with the family. So what Paul's telling us is that we celebrate Sabbath all the time. A lot of folks take 2-3 hours in the morning, do the prayer study, or an hour, 15 minutes, whatever it is. They take that time to be with the Lord every morning. And that sets the tone for the rest of the day. I'm not here to say that the Sabbath has to be this way. The Pharisees said, and on Sundays you can't do this and you can't do this. Or like the Jewish folks do, 6 o'clock on Friday to 6 o'clock on Saturday, you can't do anything. You can't cook, you can't do anything. That's the rules. That's the way that they do business. But we, living under grace, don't necessarily have to do that. But so the Sabbath commandment that we observe, of course, is the rest that we receive in Christ. But that requirement that God gave us at creation, the desire, the need to take a rest, that doesn't go away simply because we are Christians. We are still human beings. We have got to take a break. Fortunately, Scripture doesn't tell us not to. It gives us the leeway to take it when we can take it. It doesn't necessarily have to be Sunday, but it should be built into the schedule. Great theologian Stephen Covey, anybody read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Stephen Covey talks about this in there. He uses a little section called Sharpening the Saw. It's like the 7th step. Or the 7th thing that he does. But one of the things that Covey talks about, I actually wrote it down because I thought it was really kind of insightful. I don't know necessarily where it is. But he says, we have got to learn to politely and respectfully say no. And that is the hardest thing. I was playing some music up on the square with a gospel group out of Mansfield. One of the guys in the band was—he's a friend of mine—and we were talking before the show. And he says, "Yeah, tomorrow," or this was today, yesterday. He says, "Yeah, I've got this one this morning, Then this afternoon I have to play in Belleville, and then I got to go up and I got to play at Shiloh tonight, three different bands. And I looked at him and I said, well, that's your problem, is you don't know how to say no to a musical commitment. And Lori just looked at me like she was just going to, you know, because I can't, it's hard for me to say no. I, you know, if somebody calls, hey, Brad, can you play the man? Oh, sure, yeah, I can do it. Yeah, no problem. Because I don't want you not to like me, and I want to play music, you see. And so there's these little things that can creep in there. Pretty soon, I haven't taken any time to be with the Lord. Pretty soon, I haven't gone to church. Pretty soon, you know, all this stuff got in the way. And now I find myself hungry for the Word, angry, lonely, and tired. And that seems to be the what happens when I don't take that time that God provides us for Sabbath, you know. We're hungry for the Word. You know, not. I never had a problem being hungry on Sunday because, you know, as soon as we get in with church, we're heading for the Golden Corral, put on the stretchy pants, and we're going to have a good time. But the thing is of course, the Lord tells us that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. If I'm not taking that time to get into that Word, then I become spiritually hungry. And when I have that emptiness in here, I will fill that with other things. It's what I did out there. When I got to church, I found something much more healthy to fill that emptiness with. But if I don't keep filling it, I'm going to get hungry. And pretty soon it becomes I'm filling it with constantly playing music or constantly trying to work or constantly trying to make money or constantly everything that's not important will fill that void, that hunger in the soul. And that's where that time to spend time with the Lord fills us. The spiritual feeding. Angry. Where's my notes? There we go. We talked a little bit about it. Matt talked a little bit about it. When I'm not in that contact with God, when I haven't spent that time with Him, there's a tendency sometimes for me to become wrapped up in here. And I become engaged in the competition that we talked about. And as long as I haven't taken that time to be with my community and recognize my brothers and sisters as community, and they become my competitors, I got to work on Sunday because I got to make that dollar. You know, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do the other thing because I got to be better or get one up on my neighbor. We're not community anymore, we're competitors. And what happens if I lose? Then I become really angry. I become angry, I become frustrated. You know, and I reach that point where it's like it says in 1 John 3:14, he who hates, that is not loves, his brother cannot in that present state have eternal life abiding in him. Sacrifice eternal life for the temporary satisfaction of victory in this society because I didn't take time to arrange my priorities the way that they should be. You know, and then another thing is that loneliness. Once we enter into this competition between each other, we're not taking that time to be a community, a good Christian community, and a community within our neighbor. My wife calls it neighboring. She yesterday, I don't know where she does it. She's so much better person than I am, and we have new neighbors. So she makes a big plate of cookies and she takes them over to the neighbor. I never think to do stuff like that. I say, you keep your dog out of my yard, you know. But she's over there. She's giving them cookies and she says it's neighboring. And it's kind of an old school thing. She had very old parents, and I think she learned some really neat stuff from them. Well, she did. They were World War II generation. She was a huge mistake. And not mine. No, not mine. It wasn't my mistake. She's one of the greatest blessings of my life, Julie. Don't let her listen to this. And, but we become exceedingly lonely. We live in a world where you're walking around with a computer, and we live our faith. Lindsay, how many Facebook friends you got? See? Yeah, I got 1,000. I got 1,000 friends. I don't know most of them. I don't, but they friend me. You know, like, I want to be a friend. Okay, so we're friends now. You know nothing about me, but we're friends. And we're gonna talk. True friends, I probably have 5 or 6. Maybe 7. You know? Or 0. None? Well, let's change that. You got true friends right here. We got 2 friends right here. These people in this room love us unconditionally, and that's what I think is fantastic. And that is the family of God, and the body of Christ is right here, and the love that we share with all of our warts and pimples and everything else that we have, you know. In this technological world, as we become more and more isolated because we live artificially through computers and through all of these things, real community has gone away. You know, some people will say, well, I worship God, but I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do that. I say, you're missing the point. I get where you're going with that, but the one-on-one flesh and blood relationships cannot be replicated out there. And you will live a lonely life if you're not taking that time to be with God, with community, and with family. And of course, the direct result of that is fatigue. We get tired. You know, this keeping up with the neighbors puts us in competition, and friends and brothers and sisters become competitors. God ordained the Sabbath in direct opposition to the standard work practices of the ancient Egyptians and surrounding cultures. He made the Sabbath part of a covenant with his chosen people for good reason. He is a God of rest and peace. Jesus famously tells us, "Come to me, all of you who worship and worry and burdened, and I will give you rest." Man was not meant to work 24 hours, 7 days a week. In Pharaoh's economy, there was no work stoppage. But God delivered us from that slavery. And that is the beautiful part of Sabbath. Sabbath is not a blue law obligation. It isn't something for the Christian where we have to block off 24 hours, where we have to carry our mat in our left hand. That's an actual real rule. And we can't pick corn and we can't do those things. What we're being told to remember is to spend time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to spend time with each other, and to spend time with our community and our families away from the competitive nature of society. We're not in competition. We're all brothers and sisters. And as Matt said, we've already won. We've already won. We don't need to compete. We are very blessed, and what a tremendous blessing our Lord and Savior and our God has given us in this day of rest. And I know for me, I'm working hard to try and be a Sabbath keeper. And I'm not real good at it because my schedule changes. And so I have to be on duty at the fire station. I had to reconcile that one too. Yeah, because I'm a fireman, and shifts fall when they fall. And so there's some of those Sundays that I'm on duty. But I love Jesus' answer to the Pharisees when they call him out for his disciples picking corn on the Sabbath. And he says, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We are not slaves to this. But to fail to acknowledge it is to put us far less effective in functioning in God's society, in God's country. And so on Sundays, he also goes on and says, who among you, to the Pharisees, says, who among you would not go rescue a lamb if it fell into a well? So that's how I do my fire thing. I don't do paperwork. I don't sign payroll. I don't do all that stuff. If somebody falls in a well, we get in a truck and we go. But that's it. You know what? But for me, that's time that I can focus. I spend time in scripture there at the fire station all the time. I do those sort of things because you got to fit a Sabbath in somewhere. What that looks like for you, I don't know. I'm starting to develop what it looks like for me. But basically, the purpose that I wanted to talk about is that those notes that you don't play, those times that you take the rest, are what make music so wonderful and beautiful. And it's the one thing, it's one of the things that makes our Christian walk such a wonderful and beautiful experience. I'm going to bring the praise team up. And Matt, we have Matt here. We only have one elder today. But perhaps you are weary, you're heavy laden, you're burdened. And sometimes it's helpful just to sort of drop the rock and dump it at the altar. You know, now I'm going to have Matt come up, and he's more than happy to pray with you. And even if you just want to come up and kneel and just a silent prayer to the Lord and just reconnect, you're more than welcome to do that as we do this last song. Let me close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the gift of Open Arms Christian Church, and we thank you for the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you will instill in us the desire to rest lovingly in your arms. And we thank you so much for those arms. Father, we surrender this week to you. We pray that you will guide us and that we will make a difference in this community. And Father, we just pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.